Commissioner Jensen, do you think we should get going, sir?
Sure, I'm ready. So let's call this special meeting of the South Dakota Game Fish and Parks Commission to order. May 23, 2019. Rachel, could you do a roll call attendance both for the commission and the various regional offices that are online?
Yes, we'll begin with the commission. I'll first ask Boyd.
Here.
Locken.
Here.
Bees. Olson.
Here.
Whitmire.
Here.
Phillips. Phillips. Sharp.
Here.
And Jensen.
Here.
We have a quorum. I'll also check, do we have our Sioux Falls office calling in?
Sioux Falls office is here. I've got three members of the public with me today. Alvin Berger from Sioux Falls, Wayne Lloyd from Wentworth, and Steve Emmer from Coleman. And two of those gentlemen would like to testify.
Rapid City?
Here, Rachel. We have three members of the public with me here. Jamie Alhaj, Cheyenne Cumming, and Nancy Hilding, and they would all like to testify today, please.
Watertown?
Watertown is here. We have no public in attendance.
And obviously, we're calling here from Pierre, and we've got two members of the public from in attendance. We have a quorum, and we can proceed.
Okay. I think somebody just joined. Did somebody just join?
Phillips just joined. Scott Phillips.
And I'll check one more time. Travis Beast, are you on the line?
Okay. So I will read the conflict of interest disclosure. It says, now is the time for the commission to consider any written or verbal disclosures of conflict of interest by current and former commission members. If any member of the commission has completed a written disclosure of a conflict of interest, the commission will consider the disclosure at this time. If any commission member wishes to verbally disclose an interest in a contract, as defined by SDCL 3-23-1, a direct benefit from a contract, as defined in SDCL 3-23-1 and 3-23-2, or any other conflict with any matter on today's meeting agenda, please identify the contract or other matter in which you have a conflict of interest and generally describe the nature of the conflict. Also, if during the meeting you become aware that you have a conflict of interest with any proposed contract or other matter, please notify the chair of the conflict and generally describe the nature of the conflict. If you disclose a conflict of interest, the commission must vote on whether the matter underlying the conflict is fair, reasonable, and not contrary to the public interest. You may not participate in the commission's discussion to vote on the conflict. Are there any, we don't have any written disclosures of conflict of interest. Does a commissioner, any commissioner have a conflict they'd like to disclose this morning? Hearing none, we can proceed. So, generally speaking, we're here to reconsider or consider again rules that the commission previously passed, submitted to the Legislative Rules Committee, and then they reverted them back to the commission for the commission's consideration. So that's what we're doing today, and the timing is dictated, and I think in part at least by when the Rules Committee meets again. So Secretary Hepler or John, do you want to say more than that about why we're here?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, John Catelnik here again. So I was just kind of going to give just to expand a little bit on the historical background of how we got here. So the rules that you referenced were March proposals, and they were finalized in April. Those rules were sent to the IRRC on May 6th, and seven of those rules were reverted. I can go through those seven rules that were reverted. The first one would be 4103-0107, which was the which was the commercial use in parks fee structure. That one is not in front of the commission at this time. Based on conversations we had with the IRC and some of the concerns that they had, we said that we would go back, work with the public some more, work with our stakeholders, and come with a completely new proposal. So that's why you don't see that one on the agenda for today. The second one that was reverted was 41030303.01. It's another parks rule. There was actually two components to that rule. One of them was a park entrance license to be given for individuals who submitted an idea through our crowdsourcing. The commission decided not to bring that one back as the IRC expressed some concerns on how that would be implemented, specifically who was going to decide what was a good idea and what was not. Ultimately, in the end, I think we're going to find an alternative to a rule proposal, not bringing a rule proposal, but find another way to reward those individuals who do submit a legitimate habitat solution and vent that obviously through the commission so that, again, the public has an ability to see what the ideas are that are floating out there. The second component to that same rule was for Crow Creek tribal members to be exempt from a park entrance license at West Bend. That one is up for reconsideration. It's pretty self-explanatory. Individuals who would be part of the Crow Creek tribe would be exempt from a park entrance license at West Bend Recreation Area. The third rule that was reverted was similar to the other crowdsourcing for park entrance license, but this had to deal with a small game license, and the same rationale that was used for pulling back the park entrance license exemption for crowdsourcing is the same for small game. We're going to explore other alternative measures than the rule promulgation process. And obviously, again, still vent that to the commission as far as ideas that would be submitted. The next one would be 4106-0203, hunting license fee established for the Hunt for Habitat program. This was passed in legislation last session. And it the piece of legislation is specifically laid out what we can charge for residents and non-resident application fees. It would be $10 for residents, $20 for non-residents. So that particular administrative rule is up for reconsideration on the agenda. And the fifth one would be 4106-6201 through 04. So there's four administrative rules that you guys would be considering. And that is the actual structure of the Hunt for Habitat. The four rules deal with the hunting season, the license period, which licenses are available, and the number of applications individuals can set. And again, I remind the commission that this was all part of a piece of legislation that was passed last session. So we have some pretty tight left and right boards that the administrative rules are tailored to and are in compliance with those statutory requirements. Number six is 4108-0213, extending trapping on public lands from May 1st to August 31st. That one is in front of you for reconsideration. We can have a lengthier discussion about it, obviously, when it comes time for you guys to talk about it. And then the last one is 4108-0302, the attestation form to collect bounties. That one is not back for reconsideration. I think just given the timing and the nature of where we're at today, we just determined it wasn't necessarily to bring that one back in front of you guys. So that's kind of the historical of all the rules that were reverted. Briefly on authority, IRC exercised their authority under SDCL 1-26-4.7, which allows them to revert rules for various reasons, and I won't go into great detail because based on so many rules that were reverted, they were all over the place in terms of choosing which ones. So, I mean, to line up each rule, it would take 2 months for the purposes of this meeting, but that was their authority. They exercised their authority appropriately. And now to discussing your guys' authority, the commission's authority, under 1-26-4.1, after the Interim Rules Review Committee has reverted rules, you can consider the amendments and the suggestions that the IRC had, and you can hold a meeting like we're doing today. There's no public hearing required, and then you can act on those rules to send them back to the IRC. So that's kind of a summary of how we got to where we are and what we're doing here today. So I don't know if Secretary Hepler has anything to add to that.
No, John, I think you did a great job. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So if it's all right with everybody, let's hold questions and comments from the commission and go to public comment. And let's start in Sioux Falls. And so we would like to have everybody, as they speak, introduce themselves and then limit their comments to 3 minutes. And Emmett, if you could help us do that timing, given that we're on the phone, that would be helpful.
Mr. Chairman, before we go on, did somebody else join us? Did Travis call in?
Yes, I did.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted the record to reflect. We got all the commissioners online.
Yep. Good.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Well, are you willing to take a question from the public here before we get started with public comment?
Well, really, today is about public comment, so if you could just give us your comment and then maybe address your question afterwards with Emmett or whomever.
No, the question is about process. It's a question about the process of commenting. It's not about a rule. My question is, when we get 3 minutes each, is that for all four rules that are up, or is that 3 minutes for each rule that we're commenting on?
I'll give you 3 minutes per rule.
Thank you. This is Nancy Hilton.
Okay. So let's start in Sioux Falls.
Morning again, Mr. Chairman, Secretary Hepler. Two gentlemen want to speak to the rules issue. First up will be Wayne Lloyd from Wentworth, South Dakota. He'd like to comment on the hunting license fees, hunt for habitat, and the trap rule as well.
Mr. Chairman, Secretary Hepler, this is Wayne Lloyd. First, I'd like to talk on the hunt for habitat and I guess the issue of trapping on public ground during the summer period. I think the program's been great. I've watched the kids really be invested in it. I know there's some concern from the people that don't think we should be trapping in the summer, but personally, I live on 43 acres, and in a two-week period, I had somebody take 23 raccoons off my property because the numbers of species are just so far out of control. Not only are we helping the pheasants by limiting the predators, we're also controlling the diseases that they carry, and we're getting youth going or interested in hunting and trapping, which is essential to keeping things going here. And that's about all I have to say on that. I'll go right into the second one. The super tags, I think super tags are a great idea. Various states throughout the United States use the raffle system to gain money for habitat. I probably enter in six or eight different states for raffle tickets at least. I talked to Representative Zwack, and I know part of his concern was oversight, but from what I understand, the money from the super tags is actually going to be controlled by the commission or the Game, Fish, and Parks Department. The other thing, even if it does go to the Second Century board to control, there are two individuals on that board from the Game, Fish, and Parks, Secretary Hepler and then Chairman Jensen. And then the public people are very, very solid board. So either way, with the oversight, I question Representative Zwack's concerns over the oversight for the board. So I think it's essential to get habitat going in South Dakota, and I think it's a great program. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Second individual is Steve Himmer. Steve, would like to make comments on the Hunt for Habitat program.
Yeah, I'm Steve Himmer. Wayne kind of said a lot of the same things I wanted to say, but I'm in favor of the Hunt for Habitat. I hope the money is used like it's supposed to be. That's one of the main concerns. But as far as the fees, I think they're in line with other states. And I just wanted to say that I'm in favor of, I strongly support the way you guys have it here for today. That's about all I have to say. Thanks.
Yep, thank you. Anyone else on it?
No, those are the only two individuals that signed up to comment.
Okay. Well, let's go to Watertown. Mike, are you there?
Yep. Mike Klosowski, Regional Wildlife Supervisor up in Watertown. We have no public in attendance, so no testimony this morning from Watertown.
Thank you. How about Pier then?
There's no one here who's going to testify either, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And anyone, let's go to Rapid City.
Mr. Chairman, this is John Cant, the Regional Supervisor out in Western South Dakota. We have three members of the public that would like to testify today. The first is Jamie Alhaj, and she would like to speak on the trapping prohibitions.
Good morning, Chairman Jensen and Commissioner Boyd Olson, Sharp, Phillips, Bees, Whitmer, and Locken. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Jamie Alhaj, and I'm a resident of Rapid City. I've lived in South Dakota for the past 34 years. As one of the vast number of South Dakotans that oppose the ill-conceived and implemented Nest Predator Bounty Program, I'm requesting that you uphold the decision of the South Dakota Legislative Interim Rules Review Committee, which rejected your April rule amendment that allowed trapping on public lands, extended trapping on public lands, and improved road right-of-ways beyond May 1st. As of May 22nd, 18,218 animals have been trapped and killed. Of these, 13,400 raccoons, 1,500 opossums, 3,000 skunks, 150 red fox, 123 badgers. Those numbers do not include the collateral loss of offspring. If even figuring just half of the trapped animals were female, the actual total casualties would be well over 45,000. We all know that there is no significant scientific data to support that by decimating our native wildlife that we will increase the pheasant population. All of the wishful thinking still won't improve the real issue, and that is lack of habitat. In reading the comments that have been posted to the Games, Fish, and Parks website, they are overwhelmingly opposed to extending the trapping beyond May 1st on public lands. Also noted in reading those that several comments were submitted in the timely manner were not shown, mine included. I'm hoping that you will be able to recognize the greater long-term implications of a program that promotes children trapping, killing, cutting off the tail, and literally throwing the body away, and will not have to look back and say, how could we have been so irresponsible? I'm asking for you to please uphold the decision of the South Dakota Legislative Interim Rules Review Committee. Respect our views and concerns. Uphold the no trapping on public lands beyond May 1st, a policy that the majority of South Dakotans agree with. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Chairman, we have Cheyenne Cumming from Rapid City, and she would like to speak on the trapping prohibitions as well.
Hello, my name is Shane Cumming, and I urge the commission not to extend the use of traps on public land. People come to South Dakota from all over the world to enjoy public lands throughout the summer. Traps on public lands affects the safety of those hiking, bird watching, and all the other activities that people come to enjoy. Trapping through the summer is killing the young of those trapped for no legitimate purpose. Do not extend this cruelty on public lands that all of us own, not just people who think killing little animals is pleasurable. Please do not extend this time frame. I'm finished.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have one other member of the public, Nancy Hilding with Prairie Audubon Society, Prairie Hills Audubon Society, and she would like to speak on park license exemptions, hunt for habitat, and the trapping prohibitions.
Yeah, Nancy Hilding, I'll do the first, the quick one. All right, we support Crow Creek Sioux Tribe members being allowed to go, I think it's to West Bend Park for free. Those guys used to own this whole place, and it was taken from them substantially illegally, which the Supreme Court upheld. And, you know, they should be allowed on the parks in South Dakota for free as part of the reparations to the Native Americans. So we support that. I would comment on the hunt for habitat if I understood what I was commenting on, which I don't, but we believe that most of the money for Hunt for Habitat is supposed to go to pheasants, and I'm not talking about where the money is going. I'm talking about the rule that you're talking about. It's not how you're spending the money. But we would very much like for the money that you earn for Hunt for Habitat to be spent not just on pheasants, which are an introduced species from Asia, and we appreciate that everybody loves them and that, you know, this protects habitat and many species benefit from that, but we hope you'll also spend money on South Dakota's threatened and endangered species, which are truly at risk, rather than the pheasant, which is your, I don't understand it entirely, but people want to hunt them more. All right, so, okay, so then I'm moving on to, so we're just saying we would like the money raised to be spent on other things besides pheasants. So, other animals, okay. Or plants. We're then moving on to start timing me for the predator, the nest bounty predators. Okay. I sent you this morning. I'm sorry it's late, but I've given you these scorecards before previous commission meetings. The Born Free scorecard for South Dakota that shows how poorly our South Dakota scores in relationship to the rest of the nation on the cruelty or not of its trapping program. I've given this to you before. I emailed it just this morning, but some of you are new. All right, okay, so we have testified before this committee endlessly many times asking for reform to the trapping rules in South Dakota. Our particular thing that we like to focus on is trap ID, which you guys tried to do last year, and reducing the trap check times. Is the rule about trap check times is very confusing, but we read that as 3 in a partial days West River and 2 in a partial day East River. We do not know why Christianoma folks spend $250,000 buying live traps. We assume this is to act like this is humane, but when you leave animals, particularly during the breeding season from May to August, in a trap for 3.5 days, particularly in the summer when it's hot, those traps, the non-target species, are going to die also. So sitting in a trap for 3.5 days for a wild animal is not humane. Okay, so if you pass this thing forward, tack at least the 24-hour trap check time thing on it, and actually shorter on a hot day. Okay, so we then wish to point out that we have plague in western South Dakota, and these species that you're killing eat the rodents that carry the plague. Did you think about that? We would like to point out that you're going to have, she brought it up, the other lady, when it's springtime and breeding time, you have these animals in a trap or a leg hold or a body crusher trap. You're killing the children also, particularly the children of the non-target species. So if you accidentally trap a swift fox, and during the breeding season, you're killing the swift fox's babies, perhaps depending on the age and how long the animal's left in the trap. There are 2 species that have been petitioned for listing with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which you may not be aware of. It's a spotted skunk and a gray fox just this region, not for their entire area. Okay, so and you have the swift fox. So you're going to have this. I will be sure to write to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service about this program and how it increases the risk to the species that are being petitioned for listing, a fox and a skunk in South Dakota. That you don't, you're not trapping those, but inadvertently you're going to kill them with your traps. Your trap check time, which is disgusting in South Dakota, and I'm going to be really quick. This is about teaching children. That's the spin that you're putting on them. When you have such an inappropriate, out-of-date, backward set of trapping rules, you are teaching children sadism. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. That's all we have, Mr. Chairman. That would conclude the members here from the public.
Thank you. Anyone else want to make public comment? If not, let's proceed then to park license exemptions with Scott Simpson.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission. Scott Simpson, Director of Parks and Recreation. The first one up is the park entrance license exemption. 41-03-03-03-01. I believe John gave a pretty good description of what was going on here. This particular part of that proposal and finalization that you adopted kind of got caught up with some other conversations around the crowdsourcing and some of those things. But as far as this allowing members of the Crow Creek tribe and their families to enter West Bend without a park entrance license, that one did not receive any pushback from the Interim Rules Committee. So we believe that this one is ready to go. It's in good shape, and that we would just ask you to return it so we can have that conversation with them at the appropriate time.
Okay. Thank you. So now as we go forward, when the commissioners want to speak, it'd be best if you could identify yourself, and then we'll go from there, and at some point we'll need a motion, of course. So who would like to address this?
Mr. Chair, this is John Cattell. Just a point of order real quick. If you guys are looking at your finalization sheets dealing with this specific proposal, it looks like there was inadvertently an additional rule left on the bottom of the finalization sheet. So if you're looking at the sheet, you have the park entrance license exemption, which Director Simpson just spoke to. But then there's also at the bottom 41-03-03-04, which is time limits on daily license. That was already addressed and accepted by the IRC. So I don't know that it necessarily takes a specific motion to remove it from the proposal, but for posterity, you certainly can entertain that motion just to only consider that first rule.
Okay.
Our apologies for that.
So, we'll take care of that. Would anybody like to make a motion to remove that?
I would make the motion to remove that, Commissioner Phillips.
Commissioner Boyd
with second. Okay. Any discussion? If not, all these votes have to be roll call, so Rachel, could you do the roll call vote?
You bet. Boyd?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Bees?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor.
Okay, so then we need a motion on the main.
Phillips will move it.
Sharp moves.
Is there a second?
Whitmire, second.
Any discussion? If not, Rachel, would you do the roll call vote again?
Boyd?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Bees?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor.
Thank you. So then next is hunting license fees with Tony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, Tony Life here, Director of the Wildlife Division. If it's all right with you, Mr. Chairman, we'll take the next two together. They kind of roll together the fees for the Hunt for Habitat and the Hunt for Habitat program itself. We have them all together on one action sheet, as you act upon those in the past. And with your permission, let's go ahead and take those together, sir.
Okay, that works.
Okay. The Hunt for Habitat licenses, we've had a couple different discussions with the commission on. It's a key part of Governor Nolan's Second Century Initiative. There are many components that are going to require funding, the habitat, in particular those habitat components, to work on private land, to develop those habitats is going to take some funding. So this past legislative session, the governor's office and the department worked with the legislature to put in place Senate Bill 153, which placed into statute the authority for the commission to sell what is termed in statute as application fees or charge application fees. In practice, when we go out to the public, it's probably better perceived as raffle tickets or opportunities to get these highly sought after licenses. Senate Bill 153 limited the commission's authority to grant no more than 10 big game licenses. And at the time, we had the intent that those 10 licenses would be in the form of one buffalo license in Custer State Park and three triple tag licenses. Each of those triple tag licenses would have a license for an elk, a deer, and an antelope. And that is the action that we brought before the commission in April when you finalized this particular new hunting package. What it did was it established the license fees up to the maximum that was allowed by Senate Bill 153 that will be placed in the statute, $10 for residents and $20 for non-residents. It also created those three license types, or excuse me, those three licenses for the triple tags plus the single tag license for a buffalo. So how would we envision this working is that ultimately, if adopted by the commission and approved by the Interim Rules Committee, beginning on July 1st, we would use multiple strategies to solicit raffle ticket sales or the sales of these non-refundable license fees. I know that's something that has come up in the past of discussion of how the department is going to do that, and we've had a couple different meetings. Deputy Secretary Roebling has been a key part of those conversations, and I'm going to ask Kevin to go ahead and jump in here now and talk a little bit about the promotional activities that's going to come should everything fall into place to issue these licenses this year.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. Kevin Roebling here, Deputy Secretary with Game Fish and Parks. You know, we have had a few meetings regarding this issue, and really what it comes down to is we're going to have between July 1st and August 15th, if these rules are approved by the Interim Rules Review Committee and the Commission today, a window of opportunity to really market or throw a really big marketing campaign or marketing splash out to our user groups, particularly our big game hunters, not just within South Dakota but outside South Dakota. And some of the ways we plan to market the Hunt for Habitat raffle license, essentially the first one would be targeted emails, radio ads. We'd like to really emphasize it on our social media platforms, press releases. We'd go national as well. We try to get some potential ads in national magazines, with Eastman's Bowhunter magazine or even the Outdoor News in Wisconsin or Minnesota, places like that. And then really work with our sportsmen and women groups within this state as well and have them champion some of the advertising to sell those Hunt for Habitat raffle licenses if we can. It is a short window, 45 days would be how long we'd have to get folks to purchase raffle license tickets. And again, that would be from that July 1st through August 15th time frame. The way to do it would be we'd have a website on our web page, actually, completely separate from our login of actually applying for or purchasing a license.
So an individual, all they would need to put on there is their name, their phone number, and how many tickets they'd like to buy, and then their credit card information or their payment information. This way, they don't have to create a profile. They don't have to go through our licensing system. So this would be a completely separate avenue when it comes to actually purchasing those raffle licenses to make it easier for users that do not have a profile within the state of South Dakota. So that is our plan as of right now. We hope to hit the go button come July 1st, and our communication staff will be very busy with this effort once the time comes, if the time comes.
So, Mr. Chairman, Tony Life here again. I'll go ahead and just talk briefly about the structure.
We've been through this a couple different times, so I believe most of you are familiar with the license structure that we're asking you to put in place here today, but let's just review that briefly. The single Buffalo license would be available for both residents and non-residents. We would accept those applications, and again, an individual could put in as many as they wish. There'd be no limit on the number of raffle tickets that a person could buy. For the three Hunt for Habitat licenses, again, open to both residents and non-residents. However, if a non-resident draws one of the licenses, the rest of the non-resident applicants in the pool would be rendered ineligible. So no more than one of those licenses could be issued to a non-resident, although it certainly is possible that all of those licenses could be issued to residents. If that's the way the drawing would go, but all residents and non-residents would be in the same drawing bucket. The successful applicants that draw those three licenses would have the alternative of using those licenses in this calendar year or the next calendar year. All three of the licenses do not have to be used in the same calendar year. So, for example, a successful applicant could choose to hunt deer in 2019 and preserve their opportunity to hunt elk and antelope until next year, the 2020 hunting seasons. The licenses would be valid for that species at any time that season is open. So an applicant could use that, or a successful applicant could use that license for the archery deer hunting season, for the muzzleloader deer hunting season, East River, West River, Black Hills, whichever season they would choose, as long as they abide by the specific provisions of those hunting seasons. I believe that covers most of the mechanics, but there's one other important point to discuss, and that's the revenue generated, how that would be used. So these the revenue that's generated from the sale of these raffle tickets or collection of application fees by way of described in statute are fees for licenses and would fall under the same spending restrictions that are in state statute of the use of state dollars. In essence, that means that these dollars have to be retained under the authority of the department and the commission as to where they expend it. That does not mean we cannot use those to enhance programs that are also being provided in with the Second Century Initiative or the Second Century Foundation. But the control and the determination of the expenditures of those dollars would remain with the department and the commission. We currently spend well over $6 million on private lands, habitat, and access programs right now. But these dollars would be used to enhance both those existing programs and the new programs that we're putting in place to establish working lands habitat across the state. But most important point to remember here is that these dollars would be retained under the authority of the commission through the department, and that they would be used strictly for habitat developments to enhance wildlife populations throughout the state. Not just pheasants, but throughout the state habitat developments. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to entertain any questions that you have. If it is your pleasure, we would ask that you adopt the Hunt for Habitat license package in the action sheet that we've sent to you so we can bring that before for reconsideration of the Interim Rules Committee.
Mr. Chairman, before we go on, this is Secretary Hepler. I do have a comment I'd like to add, please. I had the opportunity to meet with some of the Rules Committee members and just following up on some of their concerns or they need other content information, maybe help them make a decision. And discussion on the hunt for habitat, the main question that they had, it wasn't the mechanics, how it's going to work. It's really where the money was going to go, who was going to control it, the accountability that would be report back out to the appropriators and also back out to the commission. And Tony hit on the fact is that we want to be real clear this money is being retained under the authority of the GF&P. It's not going to go directly to the fund. We could certainly decide to partner with the fund we want to, leverage some of those dollars. But we also, I mean, you already heard two members of the public this morning ask the same questions, you know, kind of where's the money going to go? We hope it goes to the right spot. Where this money else is going to go, and I just want to reemphasize a point, and I think Nancy made a good one. This is not just about pheasant habitat. This is about improving wildlife habitat across the state, which benefits everybody, whether you're a non-hunted species or whether you're a hunted species. That's a relevant point I think we need to stress. It's very hard to track a single dollar through our accounting system in the state. It's just set up to do that. Our mainframe won't do that. But we do plan to come back, Mr. Chairman, and to all the commissioners and be able to say, all right, let's just say an amount of $500,000 is what we generate out of here. We'll be able to come back and say, this is where we directed these programs, and we have that accountability. We'll report that same information back out to the appropriators and to the legislature when we meet next year. So I just want to reassure everybody that, you know, this is going to be directed the right spot. You can hold us accountable for this. You know, we're happy to do this and hope it turns out well. We think it's a good program. But there again, the main thing is letting where this money goes. And so hopefully we reassure you this morning, members of the public, that where this is going to, how this program is going to be developed, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So maybe to be even maybe a little more clear, so this money will get put into the department fund, if you will, and then subject to the regular budget process that the commission's involved in?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is Kelly.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Any
Mr.
questions?
Gettle?
Yes.
This is Commissioner Boyd. I have a question. Okay. Because these dollars will go to develop habitat on private lands, Tony or Secretary Hepler, would you please talk about the public access component of all that?
Sure. This is Tony again. Thanks for the question, Commissioner Boyd. Right now, all of the habitat programs or the dollars that the department spends to develop habitat on private land come with a couple provisions. The first provision is that the eligible landowners that participate in those programs cannot be involved in any commercial type operation for charging access to hunt on that property. And the second provision is that they allow reasonable free public access. Those are provisions that are in the contracts that we write with those landowners, is that they need to provide reasonable free public access to the members of the public that are purchasing those licenses and supporting the development of those habitat activities.
Mr. Chairman, this Secretary Hepler again. Just also to, that's a great question, Commissioner Boyd, but also to be clear is that we don't necessarily going to put all this money into private land. This money very easily could go back into the existing game production areas were public land, and we need to make some of that decision because, you know, we've heard from members of the public they want to be sure we're taking care of what we have in our own public lands with all the money going into private land. So we'll work with Tom Kirschman and his crowd, make sure it's the most effective place to make the most reasonable difference to habitat. So it'll probably be a combination of both, Commissioner Boyd.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? If not, we'll need a motion on this rule, too.
So move, Commissioner Beast.
Sharp second.
Roll call.
Victor, would you do the roll call again?
Boyd? Yep.
Please.
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Beast?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor.
Right, so that leaves trapping.
And Kevin Roebling is going to address that, I believe.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Kevin Roebling here, Deputy Secretary of Game Fish and Parks. As John Kotelnik alluded, this modification would allow trappers to use traps and snares on public lands and improve road right-of-ways through August 31st. That date currently is May 1st, so this would be an extension of when those traps could be put on public lands, including public road right-of-ways. As you know, public lands hold some of the best nesting habitat in the state, and you know we'd like to have that opportunity available to those trappers, those users out there, to utilize those public lands to remove those nest predators from, get those families outdoors, get folks involved. And as you are well aware, you know, we have over 1,600 participants already within this nest predator bounty program. It has been very successful getting families outdoors, youth involved, and we want to continue that success with getting the momentum, the energy around trapping and the removal of those nest predators. So this would be an extension of dates. Right now, currently is May 1st, and this would extend those dates out to August 31st. So that would be what this rule would do if approved. And if with that, I mean, I'll take any questions. It's pretty straightforward.
Any questions, comments?
I have a question.
Sharp.
Yes.
Commissioner Phillips.
I would like you to touch just briefly, Kevin, about what we did to restrict snares just recently, and if this includes all kinds of traps, not just the live traps, the snares, the leg holds, the body traps, what all types of traps this includes.
So back in June of 2018, we did amend some rules pertaining to this type of language that we're in this chapter right now, and that language included dispatch snares. So what we did there, an actual snare device, a dispatch snare, is now not, we cannot use a dispatch snare on public lands or in public road right-of-ways. That was the only change made. That date was still set at May 1st, when those traps had to be removed from public lands or public road right-of-ways. And that did include all types of traps. It did include live traps, snares, leg holds, all those traps that, you know, are legal in South Dakota can be put on public lands through May 1st currently. And that those were the changes that were made when we were addressing the snaring on public lands.
You can use what can you use now in the proposal? What can you use as far as
all those traps are legal now? They can use today. So again, they can use today. They could use live traps. They could use snares, leg holds. They could use conibears. Those would be the trap types that could be used on public lands today. And if this date is extended, could still be used on public lands through August 31st. It's not specific to live traps. It would include all those other trap types.
Thank you. Commissioner Sharp, if you have a question?
Yes, I've got two questions. If we got rid of those, you know, a year ago, I'm curious as to the importance of now changing the dates, number one. And number two, how is the current amount of animals taken during trapping compared to previous years? Any estimates from previous years? Up, down?
Yeah, so the first part of your question, Commissioner Sharp, the dates we did not adjust when we opened this chapter up back in June of 2018. We had discussions on the dates. We left those dates set at May 1st, but that was before we had a nest predator bounty program in mind as well. This would allow folks participating in the nest predator bounty program to participate, and that is something that, you know, we really do want to see continue, and for folks to have the opportunity to utilize those public lands. The use of dispatch snares would not be allowed on public lands or road right-of-ways through August 31st if this were approved by the commission today. So that same regulation that was approved back in June of 2018 would still take effect or be in effect with this extension of the dates. The second part of your question,
Last year, 2017, we're still compiling 2018 fur bearer numbers. But all in all, we removed about 44,000 fur bearers in South Dakota with about 3,200 fur bearer license holders. So 44,000, the majority of those being raccoons. To put it in retrospect, I mean, that's only 3,200 hunters reporting those 44,000. And I say that because landowners trapping on their own lands do not need a license. Youth under 16 do not need a license during that fur bearer season. And therefore, we do not track the harvest from those folks, those individuals that don't need a license. So that number is going to be very conservative at best. I would say it's grossly low, if anything. So we would be confident in saying well over 50,000 fur bearers were harvested in 2017. You know, currently we're at 18,000 fur bearers that were harvested through the Nest Predator Bounty Program. You know, and even if we harvest 30,000 raccoons statewide, that's only the equivalent of 0.38 raccoons per 640 acres. So if you look at it that way, you're removing less than a half a coon per a section of land, 640 acres. It's very, very difficult, and I will say it is going to have absolutely no biological impact on that raccoon population because of that kind of harvest density. As you heard Mr. Lloyd speak earlier today, I believe he said he removed 23 raccoons off of 47 acres. So you can kind of get an idea. Half a raccoon off 640 acres will not impact the nest predator population in an adverse way. Any other questions?
Sharp follow-up. So what I understood you to say is that trapping on public lands would end on May 1st unless we change it today. And is that the reason the Rules Committee pushed it back to us?
Commissioner Sharp, you are correct. The trapping on public lands has ended as of May 1st. So on May 6th, when the Interim Rules Review Committee reverted this set of rules back to the Commission, we had to notify, I think we sent out about 200,000 targeted emails to our users out there saying, you must remove your traps from public lands by May 12th. We gave them a little bit of a leeway to remove those traps from public lands that were participating in the Nest Predator Bounty Program or just out there trapping. So you are correct. There is no trapping on public lands today. I cannot say for certain as to why the Interim Rules Review Committee kicked those rules back, but it was kicked back, and we did have to notify our public, our users, to remove those traps, which did cause quite a bit of confusion. Because we were just advertising and telling folks to get out and trap, get outdoors, utilize those public lands, and then we had to come back just a couple weeks later and say, please remove those traps from those public lands. Now, if this rule were approved today and passed by the Interim Rules Review Committee on June 3rd, that's their next meeting, we could tell folks to go out and trap on public lands, and they'd have about 80 days left of the Nest Predator Bounty Program before it ended on August 31st. So we do feel like it is a positive to get folks out trapping on public lands and still have that opportunity during that Nest Predator Bounty Program, even if the bounty program isn't available, to have that opportunity to trap on public lands.
Mr. Chairman, this is Secretary Hepler. Commissioner Boyd and I had already the opportunity to sit down and talk to a couple of Rules Committee members in Yankton about a week ago, and this conversation, we did talk about this. And Commissioner Boyd, it wasn't real clear to me, you know, I think they got wrapped up in a broader discussion around the bounty program itself and, you know, the transparency of making that decision, the funding, some of the same discussions we've had on record in the past, Mr. Chairman, Commission members. There may have been a little discussion whether or not, you know, whether you want to use live traps versus maybe using snares and other things. So there's always a possibility, commissioners, if that's one of your concerns, is to, you could limit this just to live traps and, you know, eliminate the other types. You wouldn't have to include everything else that Deputy Secretary Roebling was talking about. But it was really, I think it was more about how it led up to here. It wasn't so much about public lands per se. I think it was the process how we got here. And Commissioner Boyd, was that your recollection of what we heard?
Mr. Secretary, yes, it was. What I also was, and thank you for saying that, because I had a question if we could modify this for live traps only. Part of the discussion with Representative Hunoff and Senator Kennedy involved concern they had been hearing about family pets, you know, people working their hunting dogs on public lands during the summer months. And at that point, I didn't have it clear in my mind that we would be opening this up for all types of traps. So I agree with what you're saying. I do like the idea of modifying this for live traps only, because I also am hesitant to overturn a decision that we made a year ago with the logic and reasoning that we used at this time. So thank you.
So any more comments, or does somebody want to make a motion to revise this or amend this proposal?
Commissioner Boyd, I would make a motion, and I might need a little help with the correct terms here, but that we modify this to extend use of live traps only to August 31st.
Okay. Is there a second?
Sorry. Second. This is...
Commissioner Lockton, was that you?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. All right, any discussion on that motion to modify the proposal?
Mr. Chairman, Tony here. I just want to get some clarity so we make sure we get this right. So it would be the intent of the commission that all trapping equipment must be removed from public lands and road right-of-way by May 1st, except live traps, which would be extended to have a deadline of August 31st. Do I have that correct?
I think so. That's how I read it. Is that what you're proposing, that, Commissioner Boyd?
That was the intent.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Sharp here. So what is going to be the checking on traps requirement again for these?
This is Tony. The trap check requirements are contained in a separate administrative rule, and that rule would not be up for consideration today because there was no public notice of those rules. But the trap rule check, if I look for some help here, is 48 hours East River and 72 hours West River. And again, those would not be subject to consideration today. But we could sure bring those back to you later if that was something you wanted some additional consideration of.
Thank you.
Any more discussion or comment on the motion to modify the proposal?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you. I appreciate Commissioner Boyd's motion, and I will support that. But I wanted to make some further comments on the whole proposal. After reading all the public comments, I'll support Marianne's amendment, but I will not support the motion to extend it into the summer. You know, we've always asked for public input, and I read every one of them. All the emails I received were in opposition. All but one of the written public comments were in opposition. I think a significant number of concerned citizens are opposed to the concept of a nest predator program. We need to respect their views and concerns. I think they've spoken very clearly that the majority of the people in South Dakota are in opposition to extending trapping into the summer. We need to support policies that the majority of South Dakotans agree with. So I believe it is best to restrict the expansion of trapping for now at least to private lands only, leaving public lands available for other uses. So I think it's better to have just live traps, but when we'll vote for that amendment, but I will not vote to extend it into the summer at all.
Thank you. Additional comments, questions? not, then, Rachel, would you take the roll call vote for the motion to modify the proposal?
Boyd?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Bees?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
All right, so that brings us to the now amended or modified proposal, which is to extend live trap only on public land through August. Any discussion on that main motion now? Any discussion?
Well, this is Sharp. I would like to hear from some of the other commissioners on their thoughts on this. As Mary Ann pointed out, we voted on one thing a year ago. We're looking like we're changing it, or thinking about changing it now, and you know, we're caught up in advertising trapping. I mean, it's kind of an interesting period and interesting discussion. So I'd like to hear from some of the other commissioners on their thoughts.
Commissioner Beast, my comment is, you know, this whole trapping thing was to be started out as a year to see how it goes and you know, what the response to it is, and I think we should give it that year, and ending it to August 31st is part of that process. Chairman, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Commissioner Phillips.
I just want to say again that I think we should try it on private land. Let's leave it on private land and see where it goes, and leave the public land alone for other uses.
Any other comments?
Chairman,
please go ahead. Sure.
I do. As I sit here and think about Commissioner Phillips' comments, the thought about doing this on private lands does make sense. I'm conflicted by this issue. I agree with Commissioner Phillips' comments about the message we receive from the public. It is a very sensitive issue. But we are where we are, and I think maybe seeing this through for the first season, first year, however we want to look at it, does make sense. But if Commissioner Phillips is making an alternate motion or something to keep this on private lands, I could see my way to support that.
Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner Phillips.
It's my belief that if we vote no, if we kill this proposal, it is automatically left on private land only. Isn't that correct?
I believe so. Tony, wouldn't that be right? Or Kevin?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Tony here. That is correct.
Well, and I mean, another option might be to limit this for 1 year, right? I mean, that would be an option.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if that was the wishes of the commission, we could certainly craft that into the administrative rule that governs this.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Commissioner Olson, I just wanted to
to remind everyone, I mean, if we limit this to private lands only, there's a vast amount of sportsmen and outdoor enthusiasts in South Dakota that don't have access to private land, and that's the reason we have a million-plus acres of land available for the general public that's under our control. If we start limiting this to private land, I think that it goes back to those same conflicts that we see between public land users and people that come on private land. Not everybody has access to that, so I would remind you that, to keep that in mind, that with all of the modern farming practices, it's probably hand in glove with the reason why we've seen a lack of habitat, and our public land areas are the ones where the nesting areas are. So I think that we need to continue to concentrate on those public lands.
Commissioner Beese here. One thing, you know, we voted there to limit it to live traps. I think that by using the live traps on public land, that does eliminate a lot of the issues of, you know, people's dogs being caught in snares or footholds or those type of issues that have been brought up. And, you know, by using the live traps, it just eliminates a lot of those type of concerns that were voiced. So, I mean, live traps are, I think, would be a lot better than the other during the summer months than the snares and leg holds.
Any other comments, questions?
Mr. Chairman, this is Sharp. I would move to approve the amended motion.
Second. Commissioner Beese, right. Second.
Any more discussion, comment?
Could we restate what the motion is? So what I'm understanding is we're approving live traps on public lands, only live traps on public lands, and the extension is till August 31st, at which point the entire Nest Predator Program bounty ends. Is that accurate?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe it is, but...
Yes,
yep.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Secretary Hickory, yes, it is.
So at the end of this, we'll be right. Able to completely revisit every rule, everything, once we review the success of the program.
Mr. Chairman, this is Secretary Hepler again. That's correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Secretary, will this be part of what WMI is going to come in and study?
No. This is Secretary Hepler, and for the benefit of the people listening, is that we've contracted with an independent body to come in and review our wildlife damage program, and this is not part of that directly, Mr. Chairman. This, you know, this is one where we've already committed, you know, numerous times on the record as far as the department, and the governor has too. We're going to come back and review how the success of this program was. So I think there'll be ample opportunity for the public as well as the commission to be engaged, whether we want to continue this program again in the future. But they're related, but not.
Okay. Any other comments, discussion? If not, Rachel, would you do the roll call again?
Boyd?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Bees?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Phillips?
No.
Sharp?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
7-1. All right. I believe that covers the agenda we were supposed to cover today. Does anybody else have anything we should address? If not, would somebody make a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn, Mr. Beese.
Oh, well. Rachel, if we need a roll call on adjourn, I guess we should do that.
We're fine. like
okay,
we're good.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, commissioners.
Thanks. Have a great day.